Here we go. Hey there, folks. This is your host, Cameron Ivey of Privacy Please, and thank you so much for tuning in each and every week. If this is your first time, welcome to the show. Tell your friends about it if you like it. If you don't, let's just pretend you didn't listen to it. Thanks again for coming in, and we hope you enjoy the show.
Yes.
We're live. We grooving. It's Monday.
It's Gabe. It's Cam. It's Privacy Please.
Welcome back. Yeah. Happy Monday to everyone. Gabe, how you doing, man? Welcome back to another episode.
Yeah, welcome back. It's good to see you. Good to hear you. Good to be here. I'm well. No complaints. How you been?
Good. I'm doing well. Another week. Weather's getting cooler.
It's cool.
Feeling like fall.
It's starting to feel like fall. I'm here for it. Sweater weather, baby. I'm here for it. I've got to go buy some new sweaters, but this is my favorite time. I've got like a collection of everything from cardigans to sweatshirts. Some of the finest sweaters around.
If anybody knows you, you got the outfits, especially for fall.
It's, I have a reputation for the fits. The fall fits are some of my favorite fits.
Same for me. I think I wore pants last night for the first time in probably 8 months.
People not in the Southeast don't really understand that so much, but
no.
Closed-toed shoes and pants are optional most.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I don't really wear flip-flops. I don't know. I mean, not in public at least. But yeah. If you're in Florida, that makes sense, especially near the water.
I used to be like that, especially when I lived up north. Like I never wore open toe shoes, no flip flops. Then like the first couple of months when I moved south, like that's all I wore for like several months.
Oh wow.
I needed the worst pedicure on the planet. It's like I should do something about this.
I don't know why. I'm just always slip on shoes or something closed. Low top or high. I'm a high top kind of guy. So
yeah, well, I dig it.
I like wearing high tops.
That makes sense.
Anyways, so we're back with part two. A couple weeks back, we did an episode around privacy, top 10 privacy tips for back to school. So, and Gabe and I wanted to kind of go on the other side of things with security and do top security tips for everyone. I mean, this, you know, with the intersection of privacy and security, it's just as equally as important. Can't have one without the other. You can have security without privacy, but you can't have privacy without security, as we always say. We've said it so many times that it's just imprinted in my brain. So
there it is.
And
there
it's, it is. It's a staple. It should be in the Bible. In the privacy Bible. Maybe we should write a privacy Bible. Oh, I like it.
I've always wanted to write a Bible. So there's
it's,
that.
You heard it here first. So Privacy Please Bible, it's coming out.
Yeah.
At some point. It's going to happen. We're going to write it.
Gideon edition. Yeah. Absolutely.
We might need some help from some of our privacy friends as well. But I think we're going to do it. Yeah. You heard it here first. Yeah. So Gabe, let's talk about this a little bit.
Well, we were talking offline before about continuing the conversation around, like, you know, privacy tips, security tips and privacy tips for kids going back to school. And we got to thinking about like, well, who else is this important for and why? Because, you know, current recent events in the Middle East in particular really kind of brought a couple things to mind. So yeah, there's been an uptake in things like hacktivism when we thought about whether or not we'd cover some of those topics. We like to cover relevant topics, you know,
right,
that of the day. But we figured what we should do is for those that find themselves in an environment where they are reporting on something, news in particular, journalists, that we share some privacy and security tips. And so who is a journalist? The short answer is, these days, you're short of everyone, right? Like in the middle of a crisis, everyone becomes a journalist. When something's going down and phones are coming out and so forth, or people have information, the short answer is everyone becomes a journalist. So it's not just, you know, someone who necessarily works at Reuters or any of those things. But
right.
But generally speaking, there's some core fundamental things that if you are in the middle of conflict, a conflict or anything else where you find yourself performing journalistic activities, whether as an actual big air quotes paid journalist or just, you know, I'm certain there's some other casual civilian term for it that I'm wholly unfamiliar with. But we wanted to cover some of the general threats associated with that and what folks should do. What can you do to keep yourself safe, to keep your sources safe, to safeguard that sensitive data?
Right.
I saw over the weekend yet another post of some of the Edward Snowden, you know, just the treasure troves of stuff that journalists there had received from him. And I can't specifically say I recall reading some of the best practices those journalists had taken individually. Hopefully they're out there. But for our listeners, I wanted to share some of the things that we know you should do in those scenarios.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones too. Where do you want to start?
I mean, the first one is from a technology perspective. You should just be super wary of all of the big names of things. Why? The Googles, the Microsofts, the whatever it is, if you're using those technology platforms, there is some likelihood that either A, there are already nation states that have direct backdoor access to some of those technologies, and or B, there's technologies like Pegasus, which is it's a software spying tool explicitly developed to be sold to governments to spy on citizens, but it oftentimes gets used and misused by governments looking to punish citizens for being dissidents or reporting on things that they shouldn't. So like the number one threat is eavesdropping, really, like from a privacy perspective. And it's not just the clandestine, someone might be standing next to you or tapping a phone. It's if you're using one of those big name services, there's an increased likelihood that there are others that can tap into those communications.
Right.
Period. Full stop. That's all there is to it. So you're going to want to do things like, well, first of all, encrypt everything. Encrypt everything.
Okay. What does that mean if I'm just someone hanging out at home and I work from home and I don't work for a big company or like I'm, you know, I'm just a normal person.
So the short, easiest answer to that then is segregate your technology. Like you should have a separate machine that, let's say you work from home, and you are, let's just take a real world thing that happened moons ago. Let's say you're downtown, you're working from home, 9/11 hits and you start recording things and maybe you see something really suspicious, right? Like how do you communicate that with someone? Well, first and foremost, again, when I talk about separating devices, you may not already have a separate device to communicate with people with, but I would suggest like maybe getting a burner phone, right? Like just going down to your local Walmart and getting something that you only use for those communications at that point, right? Like you start to isolate things. You can also reduce attack vectors, right? Like you don't want to get something sent to your phone that will just, you know, get you breached, etc. Start separating things. The machines on your laptops, that might not be doable for everyone because everyone can't just, you know, spawn a second laptop. But if you are a professional journalist, semi-amateur, professional, independent, or otherwise, you should 100% have a separate device for communicating with sources versus, say, communicating with newsrooms and other people and those kinds of things. You want to separate everything. You want to encrypt everything. If you're going to use any public cloud services for exchanging data, you want to encrypt that data before you put it somewhere else. And then you want to exchange the keys to that somewhere else offline. You want to start thinking about separation of all of the things. This is going to be your best bet for protecting both the security and privacy of that data.
So we're talking about like apps like what, BitLocker, FileVault. Are there any good ones that you recommend other than the ones that I listed?
this wasn't intentional. So, like, full disclosure, I make a thing that does help with that.
Oh, there you go.
So the answer to that question is yes, totally. Like, you should, if you're a professional journalist, you should 1,000% be using MyOdor. But I'll stop with the shameless plugs. The other things that you mentioned are useful solutions very much for everyone and individuals as well too. Yes. And to that extent, you should be educating your sources about all of those tools that, like you mentioned, right? Like those things, you should be educating your sources about some of those other things, not just those other tools, but even this conversation, these same things that they should be doing themselves to make sure that they're protecting how they communicate with you. I don't personally have any strong bias other than the obvious, in that the thing that we happen to make, yes, if you're a professional journalist, there's a component to it that will make it such that you couldn't even silently subpoena MyOdor and get that data out of our hands. Like, you couldn't do it. We don't have it. You couldn't attack the other side of it and get it either. But there are lots of other ways that maybe not as programmatic or as pretty and or as robust, et cetera, with all the extra bells and whistles that something like this has.
You know what? It's a shameless plug. This episode is brought to you by MyOdor.
There it is.
So your data everywhere is secured.
There it is.
If you haven't heard of them before, go check it out. It doesn't hurt. There's a lot of great products out there if you want to support people. That's what it's about. That's what we're all about. So definitely check it out, MyOdor.io.
Yeah, we try to not talk too much shop on air here, but that's...
No.
But in the context of this conversation,
yeah, it makes sense.
It's ridiculously relevant. Ridiculously relevant.
And this was not planned, people. We do not have scripts. If you've listened to the show before and you think we're scripted...
You've been on this show before. You know it ain't scripted.
Yeah, it ain't scripted. So good stuff. Yeah. I like it.
Anonymity. That's the next big topic, right? So,
love that word. I've had so many problems saying it. Anonymity.
Anonymity. Private browsing, right? Like, these are all things, like, you know, the mode exists on your devices. Get into the habit of using them.
But does it really work, though? I've heard that private browsing isn't really any much different than regular.
By itself, it is not. And we have said a billion times that folks should consider using other browsers also for secure comms, right? Like, again, shameless plugs. I still am a big Vivaldi fan. Vivaldi, the guy, he was on this show in the past, right? Like, I use Vivaldi. I use it heavily in privacy mode.
Isn't DuckDuckGo, is that a good one?
DuckDuckGo
website? Am I thinking of the right?
Yes. So that's a search engine, which is a great privacy search engine also. Mm-hmm. Again, more shameless plug, and we've had some of those folks on the show. Dooble, Komodo, Dragon, SRware, Iron. Those are all great alternative browsers. The Tor network itself as an alternative network to use for searching for data, et cetera. All great. If you go all the way back to episode number one, the privacy plugins that we referenced then are still all relevant. Go use all of those too. Go check out the EFFs, the Electronic Freedom Foundation's website, and have a look at all of the many resources they have around how to protect yourself as an individual. But especially, again, if you happen to be a journalist, and I want to be very clear when I use the word journalist, especially as we talk about these conflicts happening around the world. That's everyone and anyone at this point, right? Like, I'm not drawing some thick line around you happen to have a badge that says like Reuters on it or something, right? Like, I am talking about everyone in this context. There's a lot more. We could spend hours on this topic, but I wanted to just reintroduce it, especially given current events, and make sure we covered the many different technological solutions that folks can do and the different processes you can do. Again, separate your things. Separate your personal life from your journalist life as much as you can technology-wise.
Yeah, be intentional about it.
And don't slip up, right? Like, operational security is a must. There's not like, oh, I'll just do it this one time. Like, no, once you separate those things, never shall the two things be rejoined again. Do not do that.
Okay. Now, secure messaging. That's another big one. I think we touched on it in the first episode too. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure you talked about Signal.
Signal is a great option for secure messaging.
Now, Signal, is that still solid? I know that there's been changes over the years. but that one's still that one's probably still your top choice.
It's high on my top choice for secure direct person to person or even group communications. I would not use things like WhatsApp. I think
Facebook.
Yeah, right. Like my bias towards those kinds of things are just well known on this show. Like, do not use WhatsApp. Telegram, I know lots of folks trust it. I think depending on who you're communicating with, especially from where, sometimes it's necessary to use some of those tools. The answer is yes to using some of those things.
So let's give some examples of when to use something like Signal. When you're probably sharing something personal, or when you're doing something for the business and you're sharing, you know, confidential information, or
it's a great secondary channel for maybe sending the link to a one-time password, right? Like,
okay,
something yep. like yeah, so something yep. like that is, or for general, you know, like let's call it confidential but not sensitive information, but confidential, okay. like things you don't necessarily really want anyone else to somehow get access to, be privy to, but still, you know, may not rise to the level of pure confidence, of pure secrecy. Secrecy, I would argue your best bet there is you have to encrypt everything, even if that means like encrypting a Word document using strong encryption, a text document, an RTF file, and then sending that via Signal with, you know, the keys to unlock that. I'm really pulling on the use case here. We're getting deep into the man. I just don't trust a lot of things. Ultimately,
it's okay. I think that's a better way to be than just being nonchalant about it all.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Gabe, you're kind of like the. You're like the version of the guy back in the day that built a underground shelter to prepare for the worst so they could live underground if things got it crazy.
It does occur to me that one of these days one might have to be underground. Go live with the mole people.
Hey, you know what? I mean, one day it could happen. One day when I think there should be an episode where we talk about what if one day things just get cut off.
What happens then?
And the chaos that would happen for people that can't, like, because when you don't have your phone, if you've ever gone without your phone for a couple hours and like you're reaching for it and you don't have it or it's not near you, that's probably everybody experiences that if they've ever,
yeah,
and it's not good. And if we lose everything internet wise or whatever,
that's a problem.
Chaos will happen.
Oh, I have one more technology-wise. No plugging here. I'm just calling out a bunch of folks, but it's one that I personally had some experience with. Wire, W-I-R-E. So wire.com is a great platform also. And I like them especially because you can run the technology on premises, right? So like you do not even have to trust someone else's cloud with those things. Things that you can self-host yourself are also very useful. Either self-host and or some kind of hybrid hosted where you retain the keys and you just leverage the other infrastructure.
Yeah.
Those are great solutions. Those are great solutions.
Okay. Awesome. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. If you want to stick around, there'll be a blog cast diving a little bit deeper into these tips for you. So thank you so much for tuning in. And Gabe, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Always appreciate you. Good to see you, bud.
You too, man. Alrighty then, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second half of this episode of Privacy Please, blogcast edition for top tips for security. Let's go ahead and dive right into this. Thanks for sticking around. Securing your digital world, safeguarding your resources, your sources of data. So today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into the realm of digital security and personal privacy. So I'm going to navigate a little bit of the intricate landscape of safeguarding your sources and data as a journalist in specific terms, or anyone concerned about their privacy in our increasingly interconnected world. Let's kick things off with the resurgence of concerns. In recent times, concerns about digital privacy resurfaced, echoing historical events like Watergate and literary works such as George Orwell's 1984. the current climate with accusations, surveillance, and challenges to freedom of speech has sparked fears reminiscent of the past. Even veteran journalists and prominent figures like John McCain express worries about the future of democracy in the face of unprecedented challenges. As we navigate these uncertain waters, it is essential to arm ourselves with the knowledge and take proactive steps to protect our privacy, our sources, anonymity, and our data's safety. In this episode, we will explore practical strategies and tools to secure your digital communications effectively. So, communicating securely with your sources. These are some of the best practices. When communicating with sources, it's vital to adopt a proactive approach to safeguard sensitive information. Here are some recommended practices. Encryption, like we touched on in the episode earlier. Protecting your messages. Use strong encryption methods like AES, PGP, or OpenVPN for secure communication. Implement full disk encryption on your devices to prevent unauthorized access. Utilize secure messaging apps like Signal and Telegram for end-to-end encrypted calls and texts. And avoid texting sensitive information if necessary. Assume texts are encrypted, but the communication fact isn't. Secondly, avoiding common pitfalls. Please, please, please refrain from using organizational chats like Slack or Skype, which can be easily compromised. Consider using a secure device like BlackPhone for utmost privacy or a disposal device for specific meetings like Gabe was talking about, like a burner phone. Educate your sources about securing their information and communicating safely. All right, next one here. How to become anonymous online, navigating the digital landscape. So when you're navigating the online world anonymously requires strategic planning and careful execution. Here's how you can maintain your privacy effectively. First is browsing anonymously. Use private browsing modes, but be aware of limitations regarding IP address monitoring. Explore alternative privacy-focused browsers like Tor, Dubble, or Komodo Dragon. Utilize Tor browsers for enhanced anonymity, and consider Wonix, WHONIX, or Tails OS for secure operations. Secondly here, protecting your online identity. Use a VPN to encrypt all incoming and outgoing communications. Choose a VPN outside of 14 Eyes countries. Be cautious of DNS leaks and utilize tools like DNSleakTest.com to ensure your VPN's effectiveness. Employ virtual machines and proxy servers for added security, but always evaluate their use in your specific context. Lastly here, enhancing online security. Install browser extensions like HTTPS Everywhere, ScriptSafe, NoScript, Ghostery, or Privacy Badger to boost security. Regularly delete DNS cache and disable HTML web storage to minimize tracking possibilities. Securing your email communication, protecting your correspondence. So email communication remains vulnerable, making it crucial to adopt secure practices and tools. Here are some tips. Secure email providers. Consider email services like Hushmail or Collab. Now for better security and privacy features. Use temporary disposal email addresses, DEAs, for specific interactions, enhancing anonymity. Email encryption. Use encryption plugins like Mailvelope or Secure Gmail for secure email communication. Familiarize yourself with PGP encryption and consider using GNUPG for encrypting messages and files. Avoiding phishing attacks. Be vigilant about phishing attempts. Double-check email addresses. And be cautious of unexpected requests. Don't click on links that you see in emails unless it's someone that you know is sending you something. And always double-check that email address. There might be something that's a little different from what it normally would look like if it seems like it's from someone you recognize. So just be vigilant. Be a little cautious. And lastly here, embracing radical privacy measures. Protecting your digital footprint requires a multifaceted approach. We've talked about this many times on many episodes. As security expert Mika Lee emphasizes, creating a virtual fortress around your online communications is highly essential. While technologies like Tor provide anonymity, ensuring the security of your endpoint is equally crucial. Sometimes going back to traditional methods such as in-person interviews and snail mail might be the safest option. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning in to this entire episode. Hopefully these tips and tricks will help you along the way in safeguarding your privacy. Stay tuned for more valuable insights every single week. Remember, your privacy matters, and taking proactive steps can make all the difference in the world. Thanks for tuning in to Privacy Please, and we'll see you guys next week. Cameron Ivey, over and out. Hey, you guys made it all the way to the end. Thanks for listening. Again, if this is your first time, we really appreciate the support and everyone that's always been around since the beginning. We love you guys. Keep supporting Privacy Please, and we'll always have new content each and every week. Cameron Ivey, over and out.